All right, guys. Should we hear what Dan had to say about the Into the Archive show, which was a retrospective of 30 years of New Zealand fashion. He also talks a lot about Fashion Week as an event and why it's important now and always has been. And yeah, it's a really, really good chat. So I hope you enjoy it. Have a cup of tea or something. And yeah, we'll hear from Dan now. Fashion Week is back after 2 years. Was it good to have a break? Has the industry reset a bit?
I think it was. I think there was a lot going on. There was a lot of challenges. So it's a good chance to sort of reset and reorganize business and come back stronger.
Have you reset?
Yeah, I mean, I have had a good reset. I've had a huge change, as you know. We both have, actually. And we've come out of it really well, and I'm really proud of us for navigating the industry and the constant changes that it has made. But I think we're pretty resilient people, so yeah.
In the past, you sort of...
Necklace.
Oh, thanks. Dan's fixing my necklace right now. Stylist 24/7. In the past, you've been involved sort of as a stylist, as a journalist. This year, it's a bit different, though. Can you tell listeners about, your role this year, what you've been doing for Fashion Week?
Yeah, so this is the first time that Fashion Week has engaged with an advisory board. And it's led by owner Feroz Ali, our director Liam Taylor. We've also got Murray Bevan and Natalie Zanita. So it sort of rounds off a really nice broad range of skill sets and contributions from everyone on the board. And obviously, it's not just the board. There's like a whole entire team of amazing people behind the scenes putting this event together. So I'm really proud of the team. I think everyone's at a stage in their careers where they feel like they can have a voice and can contribute positively to this really significant and important event. And I think seeing it as an event is really important. I've always seen it as an event first and then Fashion Week second. And I think now more than ever, you know, Tamaki Makaurau is really, really needing some great events for people to get behind, come into the city, support our businesses. There's so many great hospitality, you know, environments, so many great retailers. So the event really is there to support our economy and just kind of give people a sense of positivity and hope.
Yeah, it's quite sort of holistic in a way because it's, it's about the shows, but it's about, this whole ecosystem around them. So you're creative director of Fashion Week this year, and you're also styling a few shows.
Yes. I started my sort of journey styling and working on shows at Fashion Week as an assistant to amazing stylist Chris Lorimer, who used to run a fashion showroom called Mint Condition. So that was kind of my first insight into backstage at Fashion Week. And then now it's quite nice to come full circle because this year I'm also styling the opening night show Into the Archive, which is a retrospective showcase of 3 decades of contemporary New Zealand fashion. And then there's Untouched World, which is completely different. It's the first time they've shown in probably over 25 years. And it's an interesting exercise for me as a stylist and as a brand consultant because they're going through their own changes as a brand. You know, as a heritage brand, how do you stay relevant? How do you keep communicating to your audience without alienating your existing clientele? So it's kind of like a nice... They're two different shows, and I'm really excited about both for different reasons.
Into the Archives. Whose idea was it? What was the vision? Yeah, how did this, you know, big, incredible show idea sort of come up?
Well, I think you and I are really, like, massive fashion archive geeks, and we've got an amazing group chat that just is always looking at, you know, what's out there on resale websites and vintage stores around, you know, all New Zealand. Archive fashion's always been something that I've been interested in. Both, you know, served on boards at the New Zealand Fashion Museum. Doris DuPont's been a great mentor of mine, so I've always seen fashion as more than just clothing. It sort of contextualizes our culture, our identity. It's always kind of been percolating in my brain, but I know that the idea has always been there for many, many years before me. You know, Doris was kind of looking at doing something in 2019, I think it was. Those years were heavily interrupted by COVID, so a lot of those that the planning work kind of got interrupted at the same time. So we thought, with the new look Fashion Week, why not revive that concept. We felt like the time was right to do it. There's so much that we're being fed in terms of fashion. There's so much saturation in the market. So it's kind of nice to sort of look back and say, oh, this has actually been done already. How is it relevant to today? That's how the idea grew. And we thought, why not start the week off looking at a retrospective showcase and then end the week on sort of more of those future of fashion group shows, polytech shows, and sort of start with like this nice sense of nostalgia, but then like push the week into the future.
With an archive show that's capturing decades, that's a lot to work through. I imagine there was a lot of admin involved, right?
Yeah, I mean, being a stylist is 90% admin.
It's all spreadsheets, right? Like it's in boxes, emails, and couriers.
Corralling people, wrangling people. It's been an interesting exercise for me and I've really enjoyed it. And I've just enjoyed working with other stylists on this. Courtney Joe's been really pivotal to this. Natasha Overly's been really pivotal to this. Levi Tan's also an up-and-coming stylist. So I think this is kind of about bringing us together to sort of enjoy the archive together. It's not about who owns this and what, you know, it's kind of, this is for us to kind of look back and just be like, we had all these clothes at this moment in time. How exciting. And then they just go back to where they came from. And it's been a really interesting exercise sourcing everything, seeing how the archives have been taken care of by individual designers, what archives been left and what's been sold off, private collections. You know, New Zealand's known for being obsessed with vintage fashion. We've got the best op shops in the world, and it's been great connecting with some of those smaller op shops and vintage stores and seeing what they have in their collections, and they're excited as well. So it's nice to be able to have them at the show and sort of enjoy as vintage fashion enthusiasts. It's really important for them to be part of this as well.
With the show, the casting's nearly as important as the garments you've pulled because you've put a lot of thought into it. Can you tell us a bit about the casting? Who sort of did you choose and why? It's not just models, right?
I mean, truth be told, I really don't enjoy casting. I know that there's people that really love the casting process. They love, you know, casting faces, and I just find it quite, that's probably the most anxiety riddled part of the process of putting a show together, is kind of finding the right faces and the right people, make it cohesive but still feel like they're individuals, especially when you've got a show with so many different brands and designers. This has actually been a good process for me because I've actually enjoyed it. So I've learned that I do have a point of view when it comes to casting. I mean, I've always casted models and things for editorials and runway shows, but this is kind of a heightened version of it. And there's so many great people that are involved in the show, and it's purely just about having a mix of faces that represent, you know, our city, our culture, people that I've worked with in the past, people that... It was important for me to look at new faces because I feel like it's easy to get stuck in nostalgia when you have a retrospective show like this. So it was really important for me to have maybe some iconic pieces on faces that are fresh and new and just starting out on their modelling journey.
Because that sort of recontextualises it again, right? Like putting something from maybe the early 90s or whatever on an 18-year-old.
Totally. It would have been easy for me just to recast people that have worn things in the past and been like, oh, you know, remember this. But actually, it's much more relevant and much more exciting for me to see someone that has no idea about these brands and kind of bringing their own energy and spirit to these clothes is really special.
And some people, I'm looking at the casting board right now, and some people are not professional models?
No. We both know that some of them are friends of ours, illustrators, artists, musicians.
Stylists.
People that kind of have an innate sense of style, and I think it's a conversation you and I always explore. I mean, you've got an innate sense of style, and I think I'm always curious about people that have genuine style. I think we live in an era where brands kind of, you know, they're doing the best that they can to connect with audiences and reach new audiences, but then we're kind of just being fed style. So it's kind of unusual for me sometimes to see someone on the street just dressed head to toe and, you know, every single TikTok trend that they can tick off.
Oh, but, my God, yes.
So this show really is about celebrating people that have an inherent relationship with style that's completely their own. And speaking of Marilyn Sainting, I mean, I saw her walking down the street on Ponsonby Road the other day, and I didn't realise it was her. And I was like, wow, that woman's got amazing style. And I saw that it was Marilyn Sainting. So
I saw her at the library a while ago, and she just looks so chic. And yeah, she must be in her 70s so now.
So chic. And I think that was a really great criteria for casting the show, is to find people that have a genuine connection to the event.
You want the clothes to look like clothes, yeah, like people are embodying it, right?
I don't like it when things look like they've been styled. I mean, obviously in the right context, it's nice to sort of create a fantasy and style to your heart's content. But when you're thinking of shows like this or editorials or campaigns, it's like it also kind of needs to feel like they've just pulled it out of their own closet.
Yeah, I think the best looks look like they could have just stepped off the Link bus on K Road. That's my criteria.
Yes.
Speaking of Link bus, let's have a little break from the interview and let's listen to Cruise Control by the Headless Chickens. And then I'll tell you why I'm playing that. And then we'll hear a bit more from Dan before we take a little break. That was Cruise Control by Headless Chickens. That one, that also played on Monday night, but I also really wanted to play that song today in memory of the late Grant Fell. Wasn't only a rock star, but was also a fashion legend behind the likes of Black Magazine with Rachel Churchwood and Planet before that, and is much, much missed in the industry. So, yeah, that one goes out to Grant and everyone that loved him. Let's keep talking to Dan and hear what he had to say.
How much is music playing a part in sort of bringing to life your vision?
It's hugely important. You know, like, I've grown up loving New Zealand music. You know, I did a little capsule collection of my favourite music videos from Aotearoa for NZ On Screen recently, and that was a really lovely process because I got to revisit archival footage and just sort of realise some of these artists and what they wore and their artistry actually did inspire the way that I dressed when I grew up. And as a central city Aucklander, it's like, it's nice to kind of look back on those references and those touch points and kind of introduce some of that music and that sound into the soundtrack. And Geneva Alexander Masters, who, you know,
a friend of BFM, shout out.
Shout out to Geneva, because I am just obsessed with her sound, her new music, and I'm just like, it really nails how I'm feeling about Auckland right now. And just this sense of positivity and hope that creativity can give us. It's in our DNA, it's what we love about, you know, creativity. It keeps us alive, and it's like her music really has inspired a lot of the way that I've put this retrospective together. And I was so happy that she agreed to do the music for the show, because she really understood what it was about. She understood the urbanness of it. It's like, you know, I think about young Pacific Islanders and young Māori that live in the city. It's like, what are they wearing? You know, they're not necessarily wearing anything traditional. Like, I grew up with family members that would wear lava lovers with hoodies and trainers. You know, like, that to me is this really beautiful, it feels very Auckland.
Yeah, it also, I mean, that kind of modality of dress, and also, you know, Jeanette's music, it all kind of folds past and present and future in on itself. Like, it's this non-linear time thing, it's all coexisting, which I kind of, that's how I feel. Yeah, that's the read I get on the show from what I've seen prior, and everything's existing at once in now.
You're the first person that's actually really nailed that. It's like, it's meant to be non-linear, that's the point. I mean, it's interesting curating the show, because it's like, there's definitely themes that have emerged from putting it together. The most obvious things, like our national preference for the colour black, and kind of looking at things, quite realising that there's sort of regions that come through the clothing. So it's like, you know,
it's almost like genres. Like, you've got several genres in the show. Can you tell people what the categories are?
Yeah, so like, black was a really big thing that we looked at, and sort of those dark poetics from the deep south, the Dunedin look, Namdi, Zambezi. And then on the flip side, just kind of seeing this real sense of joy and irreverence and humour. Like, New Zealanders have a really dark sense of humour. World had some really great archival pieces that I'm really happy that are in the mix. They've contributed a lot to our sense of style and humour, and I think there's a great glitter suit from 2000 and I have to check the date, but it's from a collection called There's No Depression in New Zealand.
Oh, Blam Blam Blam.
Yes. Yeah, referencing that amazing track. Other themes, our craft industry. I think I've been inspired a lot recently by our contemporary jewellery scene, and just kind of realising even more so how strong that industry is and how important it was to incorporate some of our amazing jewellers into the styling. What else was there? Also sort of, we're a nation of protest, and you can't ignore some of the political motifs that come through, and so It was really important to include Crochet Bay in the mix because her Tinoranga Tiratanga jumper was such a pivotal clothing item for the hikoi last year.
Yeah, it's quite a significant design that has got this sort of huge cult following. And also going back to 2004, another significant collection that's represented is King Kapisi's Overstayer collection. Can you, yeah, tell listeners about that who might not be familiar?
Yeah, so interestingly, which I find it really progressive, is King Kapisi produced a collection, I think it was with Farmers?
It was with Farmers, which is bananas.
And he just subverted the word Overstayer, and that was the name of the brand. And you see a lot of Overstayer branding sort of an artwork featuring on pieces. And I remember there was a pair of denim jeans that I always wanted from the collection, and it had like a sort of fala pocket patch, which I found quite charming. And then obviously the piece that we have in the mix is the Overstayer drill shirt and matching shorts. Actually, great story, because Emma did spot one at Central Flea Market maybe in 2020, and it was like the perfect size for me, in size medium, I think, or small. And yeah, I bought it for $20, I think it was. And then I realized we needed it for the show. So thankfully we found the model couldn't fit my shirt, so Sammy Sosa.
Oh yeah, he's got one as well.
Another amazing stylist, he kindly has loaned his matching Overstayer shirt and short set for the show.
And I mean, that's the like prime example of how these things just stay in circulation, they keep their significance and people value them, and then you can sort of resurface it all these years later in a show like this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of a show like this, is that clothes are meant to be worn and enjoyed. And I think the more you wear something, the more value it has. So, you know, I hope that one day I do understand the parameters around museum collections, but I do hope that someday that we can sort of get some of those pieces out and sort of see them on a body rather than a mannequin. So.
Yeah, I mean, clothes should be worn and out there in the world. And listeners, I think you can still get tickets for Friday night's show, which is open to the public. And I do believe they're going to be live streamed. I think all the on-site shows are being live streamed, so you can follow along. And obviously Instagram, follow Dan. I'm sure he'll give you some behind-the-scenes things. All right, thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Emma. Thanks.